When you hear the phrase soft as steel, what do you think of? While the word steel might conjure up images such as massive high-rise buildings, where does the soft part come in? And what exactly does this mean in our work and in our lives? Welcome to the Soft as Steel podcast with your host, Dennis Duran, featuring engaging conversations with a wide range of industry leaders around soft skills, how we practice love, inclusion, social justice, and compassionate leadership that's everlasting in the workplace. And now, here's Dennis Duran.
In today's episode of the Soft as Steel podcast, we delve into a unique and significant topic, women in the construction industry. Originally, I had planned to be in Las Vegas, Nevada, attending a two-day event sponsored by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, their Finishing Industries Forum, to record another special edition of our podcast in front of the forum audience. However, as fate would have it, COVID-19 disrupted those plans. Despite my absence, I am grateful to have a capable and preferred host step in, my good friend Madison Hull. She graciously took the reins for this special episode, ensuring that our listeners would still receive valuable insights. This edition focuses on the critical and strategic conversations surrounding women's roles in construction. The industry is evolving, and discussions about gender equality and empowerment are gaining momentum. We believe that amplifying the voices of women in construction is essential for driving positive change. During today's episode, we'll share a presentation delivered by a rapidly rising industry thought leader, Barb Allen. Her expertise and passion for advancing women's careers in construction make her an inspiring figure. Barb's insights shed light on the challenges faced by women in this field and highlight opportunities for growth and progress.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this special edition of the Soft as Steel podcast. So don't worry, I know some of you might have been out drinking late last night, but I am not Dennis Doran, but in the spirit of Dennis, the show must go on. Today's conversation is dedicated to informing and inspiring finishing trades community to make strides in attracting, retaining, and advancing women in the workforce. The participants in this discussion offer diverse perspectives on this critical issue. They will share their personal experiences entering the industry, navigating challenges, and providing insights on how we can progress inclusively to enhance the participation of women in our trades and across our industries. Thank you for joining us for this important dialogue. Next up, Barb Allen, a renowned thought leader in the industry, has recently joined DC16 and the Finishing Trades Association to dive deeper on the collective efforts needed to achieve our goal of increasing female representation by 5% by the end of 2024. With her national recognition and expertise in addressing the challenges faced by women, Barb brings a unique perspective and relatable approach that promises to inspire and motivate individuals with an open mind. Her story and experience will undoubtedly contribute to fostering a more inclusive and equitable growth within our industries. We look forward to the valuable insights she will be sharing today in our presentation. I will leave the rest of the introduction to Barb. So Barb, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. 20 years. I spent the first 20 years of my career avoiding women. What do I mean by that? If there was another woman on the job site, I literally avoided her. I did everything I could to disassociate myself from other women in the industry. Why? Because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be one of the guys. I wanted to feel accepted. But when you step on a job site and you look like someone like me, acceptance can be hard. So I did a lot of things to try and fit in. I laughed at sexist jokes. And if I'm really honest with you, I told many myself. I walked by numerous nude women posters in gang boxes. I tolerated bullying and harassment and hazing. And I mastered the art of turning down unwanted advances in a way that didn't ruffle their feathers and still kept the cohesiveness of a team. I did it more than to fit in. I did it because I had a goal. I wanted to be a job site superintendent. I was the first female J.A. Dunn Construction hired out of college to train to become a job site superintendent. And because J.A. Dunn Kansas City is signatory with the Carpenters Union, I was placed into the Carpenters Apprenticeship Program. I wore my bags, I worked side by side with the guys in the crew, setting forms, hanging doors, setting cabinets, installing countertops, installing door hardware, learning to physically build buildings, relationships, and a successful career as a woman in construction. I worked my way up the ladder to foreman, assistant superintendent, and 6 years out of college, I was running my first job. I spent the majority of my career as a job site superintendent. I managed projects from $3 million to $120 million from Des Moines, Iowa to Houston, Texas. I spent 19 years in the field, and I did a pretty damn good job of fitting in. And then in year 20, I decided I was going to move into the office, learn the other side of the business. There's a whole story for that, but that's a whole nother speech. Moving into the office is different. Many of you have experienced this as you've gone from working in the field to moving into labor management. In the field, there's rarely any women that you encounter. In the office, I found myself surrounded by women. And I felt like a fish out of water. I don't know if you felt that when you transitioned as well. But in this new role, as I work my way up from pre-construction manager to project executive, operations director, and managing director of a smaller general contractor in Kansas City, I became really passionate about connecting with, supporting, and advocating for more women in the industry. And 2 years ago, I quit my job and decided I'm done building buildings. I now want to really focus on increasing the success of women in the industry. My experience has taught me firsthand the barriers that women face as they're entering our trades. It's also taught me the barriers we face as we're climbing the ladders to leadership. But my experience also taught me how to overcome them. Not just as an individual, but as someone who can effectively educate others so that we can do this together. Because we need to do it together. In 2019, your organization committed to increasing the percentage of women in the industry. In the last 5 years, you have increased the percentage of women from 4% to 5%. Good job. I joke because I know it's hard. It's not that you're not trying. It's just that we can't just say this is what we want and it happens. This is a legacy industry. Change is hard. It's not like going from Bud Heavy to Bud Light. And if we're honest, we got a lot of guys in the field that in itself would be a huge undertaking. This is a bigger challenge. Think for a second. Imagine you own an IndyCar. And you keep getting second place. You want first, right? What do? You figure out how you can improve the performance of the car, and you figure out what's your competition doing. What are those limitations? In this scenario, where we're trying to get more women hired into the trades, the competitor are the contractors that are really struggling to welcome women into their workforce. But we need to understand what their reservations are so that we can overcome them and we can win this battle that we're trying to fight. That's why I'm here today. That's why this panel is here today. We're going to talk using my one ladder framework as a basis. One ladder is also from my experience. Theoretically, men and women are climbing the same ladder to enter our trades. The reality? It's more like a double-wide job-built ladder. And the side that women are climbing has missing, broken, sticky, and slippery rungs that are slowing our climb, slowing our entry, and some hindering our entry altogether. We need to repair these rungs. We need to replace these rungs so that we can have a more equitable and safe climb for everyone into our industry. So I'm going to tell you a little about these rungs, and then the panel's going to talk about them. So the first rung is the missing rung. The missing rung is the missing information, the unknowns, or the fear of the unknown. Can a woman do the job? How are we going to integrate her into our company? How would I effectively support her? I've never had the experience that she's going to have in the field. These are all valid questions, but these are also the questions that are holding contractors back from taking that first step to hiring more women or taking the next step in hiring women. So we have to overcome this. Show of hands, how many of you have a kid who is timid at trying new things? I'd be willing to bet you've tried a bunch of things, including just go do it. That one sometimes works, many times backfires. You are now the worst parent ever, and they're not talking to you for a few days because you made them go do something, right? So you learn there are other ways. The best way is to really understand what is it that that kid is fearful of. Understanding what he's or she is scared of and saying, all right, I know this. Educating them to help them lessen that fear. And if you don't know how to help them, if you haven't been in that situation, then saying, hey, kid, I'm going to do it with you. I don't know either. We're going to do it together. It may sound simplified, but this is the same way we can work with our contractors. Maybe don't call them kid. But you want to find out from them what are their fears. And then you want to help them, educate them on what you know, especially firsthand. But the reality is, many of you in the room have never really worked with a lot of women. So you don't even have the experience. And that's okay. I worked for many years in the field before I ever had a woman work for me. And I made some mistakes. But I learned from them. Contractors just want to know they're not in it alone. They're not just being forced to go do something. That you're in that circle with them. That's how we overcome the missing rung. The broken rung, these are the old, the tired, the worn out, the because we've always done it this way rungs. These are the construction workers, just the way we talk, women can't handle it on a job site. Or the feelings, we don't have room for emotions and that kind of bullshit on a job site. Or my favorite, what do you mean you gotta go pick your kid up from school? Don't you have somebody at home that can do that? These are the old mindsets. How do we overcome them? And how important is it to overcome them? It's pretty important. 41% of our construction workforce is going to retire in the next 7 years. Yeah? 41%. That means we need the younger generations filling those spots and then some. And if you know anything about the younger generations, they're not like us. They're not going to put up with the same bullshit that we put up with. They're not going to be berated and stick around. They want to be involved in their kids' lives. Mm-hmm. If we can't create an atmosphere that they want to be in, they will go elsewhere. And they can because so many industries are facing a labor shortage just like us. And what about the emotional side, where we don't have time for the emotions? We don't want to know your sob story. We don't want to know what you're going through. This mindset has landed us at second, leading in the industries for suicide rates. Something has to change. That has nothing to do with women. The best way to fix the broken rung is to help contractors understand that if we are going to thrive as an industry in the future, we have to be welcoming to the younger generations. Even if we said, women are not allowed, the younger generations aren't going to work like we did. We have to change to thrive. The next rung, sticky rungs. The sticky rungs are those that are tied to backlash, maybe even litigation. The what if she gets hurt? What if there's harassment? What if she really can't do the job? Then what? At first, these may sound like they're kind of related to the missing rungs, the unknowns, but these questions, these are tied to bottom dollar consequences. Litigation is expensive. Litigation can affect your reputation. Your reputation can be expensive. One of the best ways to avoid litigation is to have set expectations, have them in writing, have policies, have procedures, and actively train on them. They can't just be really good and then put them in a portal. Let's talk about expectations for a minute. I hear so many people say, women aren't strong enough to do this job. They can't lift X number of pounds. Okay, maybe some women can't. Some men can't either. We just talked about 41% leaving the industry in 7 years. What about those workers? Are those workers still picking up the same amount that you say all workers have to pick up? Probably not. But are we kicking them out? No, we're helping them. And I'm not saying we need to help women pick shit up. I'm saying we have to relook at the expectations that we have. Do they make sense? Are they old school? Do we need to adjust what our expectations are? Because think about just the lifting expectation for a minute. If you think about how many ways we can actually move materials that are safer and people don't have to lift as much, your injury rating, your injury incidence can go down, which means your EMRs go down, which means company insurance costs go down. It's a win-win. And when it comes to harassment policies, sure, there are cities and states that even have laws against harassment. Maybe your companies, maybe your organizations do, maybe your district councils do. Do you know what they really say? Do you know how to enforce them? Are you actively enforcing them? Because the biggest thing that will get you in trouble and the biggest thing that continues to happen is that the one guy, the best foreman somebody has, he's the problem. But we can't let him go. He gets a slap on the wrist because we need him. That will get you a lawsuit. It's not about women. Mm-hmm. Slippery rungs. Slippery rungs are related to biases, conscious and unconscious. Conscious biases, in my opinion, are the easiest thing on any of these rungs for us to overcome. Think about it for a second. Sexist jokes. Anyone who tells a sexist joke is sexist, myself included, when I was telling them. You have two options to respond to someone that tells you a sexist joke. You can laugh it off, walk away, realize he's an idiot. Or you can say, man, that's not appropriate, and I don't appreciate those sexist jokes. It's a little uncomfortable to say that to somebody. But I can promise you, as someone who's experienced, the more you are uncomfortable standing up, the more comfortable it gets. The unconscious biases, on the other hand, I think they're the hardest thing that we have to overcome on any of these rungs because they are unconscious. For those who may not understand, unconscious biases are those biases that we hold against groups that are beyond our conscious awareness, out of our control. We don't even realize we think them. As an example, superintendent, standing in my trailer. I'm the superintendent. I'm standing in my trailer. I'm standing at my plan table. How many times a worker walked in and I said, can I help you? And he would say, no, just want to go talk to the superintendent. And then he'd beeline to the back end of the trailer to go talk to one of my guys, whether it's a foreman, whether it's one of my assistant superintendents. That guy, my guy, that he went to talk to has two options. He can either say, whatever the answer is that the guy was looking for and send him on his way, or he can say, man, she's the superintendent. Saying she's the superintendent, that is what automatically awakens that unconscious bias. We should not project guilt on the unconscious thoughts of others. We're not going to say, dude, that's just rude. She's the boss. You know, like, we're not trying to make them feel bad. We just want to wake up that unconscious part that is creating that bias. That's how we get over unconscious biases. But it's one little awakening at a time, and we each have to do it. So that's it. Those are the rungs. The missing, the sticky, the broken, the slippery rungs that we have to work together to repair and replace so that we can bring in more than 1% more women in the next 5 years. That's what the panel's going to dive into now.
Awesome. All right. Well done.
Thank you, Barb, for painting that picture, and so much to talk about.
I'm sure you were inspired by Barb's words. Stay tuned for next week's episode. We'll dive into an engaging and stimulating conversation among a diverse panel of individuals who participated in this special session. You'll hear their names and learn more about their contributions to the construction industry. Thank you for joining us on this journey of empowerment and transformation. Let's continue to build a more inclusive and equitable construction world together.
Thanks for joining us today for this episode of the Softest Steel Podcast with your host, Dennis Duran. Dennis is the author of Softest Steel and a leading speaker and trainer for organizations across many industries and verticals. To learn more about the work Dennis is doing to activate soft skills in the workplace, contact him at DennisDuranSpeaking.com. Be sure to check out his book, Softest Steel, on Amazon or wherever books are sold. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you'd like to get your podcasts. And please remember to share this episode with your friends, colleagues, and anyone you feel would benefit from the conversation. We'll see you next time on the Softest Steel Podcast with Dennis Duran.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.